What do you do when you don't know something? So, tell me. Ask Ben. That's a good answer. What do you do when you don't know something? Anybody? What do you do? Ask someone who may know. Let's say there's nobody there. What do you do? Google it. Google is very helpful nowadays, huh? Right? Some folks might even go on social media to learn things, sort of, I guess. Right, so let's use the example of driving a car. All right, let's say you're a parent. I mean, if you are a parent, it's not hypothetical. But if you are, you know, and you have children, one day they're going to learn how to drive. Cool. You might take them to a parking lot, let them do a few laps, get comfortable in the driving seat, and after that, you will probably sign them up for driving school. And you're not just going to go to any driving school. You're going to go to a reputable driving school, right? Because God forbid that, you know, some crazy school teaches you something crazy, right? So you want your kids to know what they're doing when they're on the road, because driving can actually be pretty dangerous if you don't know what you're doing, right? Now, driving is one thing. How about fixing cars? God, Lord have mercy if you ask me to fix your car, because I know nothing about cars. But if you need help fixing cars, I'll help you call TJ, because he knows everything about cars, or at least I think he does. I think he knows everything. Right? And if he doesn't know something, he'll go and find out, and he'll tell you. Right? But what do you do when you don't know something, and it is a matter of life and death? Questions like, who am I? Why am I here? Who is God? What is my only hope in life and death? Having the answers to these kinds of questions is the key to having everlasting joy. Psalm 16:11, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You can't just ask anyone, because you don't just trust anyone. So you'll talk to your spouse or your family members or your close friends and such. It is no wonder that those who come to faith in Christ often do so through their relationships with friends and family. God the sower often uses those close to us to sow his word into the hearts of others. But experience tells us that even though we may share Christ with others, they may not always be receptive. Think about it. When God speaks to us, how often are we receptive? God must soften the soil of our hearts and clear out the debris so that the seeds of the word can be planted in our hearts, so that it would produce fruit abundantly. In order for us to produce the fruit of faith, we must first listen and obey the voice of the sower in faith. Turn with me now to Mark 4, verse 1 to 20. This is the fourth chapter of the second book of the New Testament. Here we see Jesus teaching. There is a big crowd, so great, in fact, that Jesus has to get in a boat and teach on the sea. In previous chapters, we've seen Jesus teach, perform many miracles, and call his apostles. He's been accused of being out of his mind and demonically possessed of all things. And now, even more people are flocking to Jesus. They're coming from far and wide to hear what he has to say. In our reading today, we'll break the passage into three parts. In verse 1 to 9, we'll focus on Jesus teaching the parable. In verses 10 to 12, we'll discuss the purpose that Jesus gives for the parables. And finally, 13 to 20, we finish up with Jesus' explanation of the parable. So let's pray before we jump into it. Heavenly Father, we bless you for this morning. We thank you for everyone who is here today, for those who are joining us online. We pray that your word would go forth, Lord, that your word would bear fruit, that you would sow the word into our hearts so that we would bear 30, 60, 100-fold for your kingdom. We bless your name. We thank you, God. You are so, so good to us. And it is in your name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to ask you all to join me in a congregational exercise. All right, so I've asked Mr. Willie earlier on if he can help us read the word. And while he's reading, I want you all to make a ruckus. All right? Not often do you get the chance and the permission to make a ruckus during service. All right, so we're going to ask Mr. Willie if you can stand and read verses 1 to 9. And as he's reading, just make a ruckus, clap your hands, cheer, I don't know, whatever you'd like. And once he finishes, you can, you know, silence down, and then he'll read the word again. All right, sound good? Cool. All right, Mr. Willie.
Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large
that
he got into a boat and set it out on the lake.
All the people were
along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things about parables.
Wow.
And then
the teacher said,
a farmer went out to sow the seed.
Wow, the sun's out.
As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and birds came and eat them up. Some fell on rocks, places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Others fell. He fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear grain. The other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop. Some multiplied 30, some 50, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ear, let him hear."
All right. Okay. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. All right, that was great. Great job, guys. All right, Mr. Willie, if you can read verses 1 to 9 again, and this time, no ruckus.
Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and set it out on the lake. While all the people were along the shore at the water's edge, he taught them many things by parables. And then his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and birds came and ate them up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scattered, and they withered because they had no root. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear fruit again. Still, other seeds fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop. Some multiplied 30, some 60, some 100 times. When Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear."
All right. Thank you, Mr. Willie. All right. Did we hear what God said? Whenever God speaks, we must listen closely in faith. It is no small matter that the God of heaven and earth speaks. In Genesis 1, God speaks all of creation into existence. It is by the word of his power that all things are upheld. Hebrews 1:3. By his word, the field are clothed with the lilies. By his word, not a sparrow falls among the trees. By his word, the sun, moon, and stars and the seasons come at their appointed times. All by the power of his word. Even scripture itself is the inspired record of God speaking to his people through the centuries. When God speaks, he fulfills his purposes, and all of creation bows the knee and bends the ear to his voice. How much more those who are created in his image? How willing are we to bend the ear and to hear what God is saying to us today? In Mark chapter 4, verse 3 to 9, Jesus speaks and teaches in parables. The parable is not unique to the New Testament, as it appears even in the Old. In the Old Testament, the parable was akin to a proverb, a wise saying, or a story that expresses certain truths, all of which still provoke a response. My favorite, Proverbs 26, 18 to 19. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is a man who deceives his neighbor and says, "I'm only joking." Can you imagine it? A madman throwing firebrands, arrows, and death. That's a sight. So what's the point? Don't be a madman. How? Don't deceive your neighbors and say you're only joking. As the prophets came on the scene, and as Israel and Judah fell deeper and deeper into sin and wickedness, parables began taking on a more prophetic tone. This was one of the ways the prophets described how God would lay low and humble his people Israel through exile. An example can be found in Ezekiel 17. All of this carries into the New Testament, and they are the veins through which Jesus teaches the crowds. Some parables, like the parable of the Good Samaritan, rides more closely with the wisdom traditions. It addresses the question, who is my neighbor? Being a neighbor requires showing mercy to another. What obedience looks like there is pretty clear, and it is a matter of obedience. To be a neighbor, show mercy. Other parables, like the one we have today, is of the more prophetic vein. Either way, parables are illustrations, whether through story or examples, that describe God-inspired truths, which cannot be accessed without faith. Jesus speaks to an agricultural society, and so he uses agricultural references. A sower, seeds, soil, birds, thorns, the sun and its heat, crops that produce fruit. The words, when strung together, create a coherent story. It makes sense on the surface. But without faith, the meaning is hidden. Without the Spirit, truth remains elusive. Parables require listening in faith. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, foolishness. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. It does us no good to hear the voice of the shepherd and then go our own way. It is wise for the sheep to stay close to the shepherd. There is no safer place to be. A sheep that does not follow closely becomes easy prey for wolves. Now, perhaps your life may not be that dangerous, you know, people aren't out to get you. What is more likely is that our lives are so noisy that we completely drown out what God is saying to us, like when Mr. Willie was reading the word for us today. As you can see, the world can be, and often is, a noisy place. Before anything else, notice that Jesus invites us to listen. Mark 4:3. When we get bombarded with the deafening sounds of entertainment, social media, conversations, to-do lists, and a million other things, we won't be able to hear God. When we tune into the voices of the world and the voice of Satan that beat us down every day, we won't be able to tune in to what God is saying to us. You're not pretty enough. You're not smart enough. You're never going to get through this. You're never going to amount to anything, is replaced by, I love you. You're my beloved. Let's get through this together. My son died so that you could have life. That's how much you mean to me. Even though we may know that up here, we don't always feel it in here. Juggling life takes so much out of us that when we come to the gathering, we are barely hanging on. We are desperately looking for something to get us through the day, let alone tomorrow or the rest of the week. The reality is that our bodies are often moving so fast that our souls can't keep up. Our days often go by in a blur, but God invites us to slow down and to listen to what He has to say. Are you afraid today? Isaiah 41:10, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God." Are you worried? Jeremiah 17:7, "Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him." Anxious? 1 Peter 5:7, "Cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you." Exhausted? Matthew 11:28-29, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly, and you will find rest for your souls." Are you lonely or depressed? Isaiah 57:15, "For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly, and to revive the spirit of the contrite." Isn't it amazing that the Lord of all creation would have such deep compassion for us, broken sinners that we are, and walk with us on the way of life? Isn't it amazing that He loved us so much that He would give His perfect Son, Jesus the Christ, onto this earth, as dirty as it is, as messed up as it is, to be the perfect sacrifice for our sins? Isn't it amazing that He would give us of His Holy Spirit to keep us on the path of eternal life? How great His love is for us, for those who are called according to His purpose. And yet, when God speaks, even those who love God are apt to miss it. How many burning bush moments we've missed simply because our lives are too busy and distracted. But thanks be to God that He continues to pursue us, that He continues to sing to us the sweet song of the gospel. His gospel is steadfast and forever immovable. When we truly hear God in faith, we can't help but pay close attention to what He says. And we can't help but to submit to His will by living in obedience to His desires. Do you hear what God is saying to you today? Do you have ears to hear Him today? And if so, the natural next step is obedience. For listening closely in faith must result in the obedience of faith. Listening closely in faith must result in the obedience of faith. Jesus ends the parable with, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." In doing so, Jesus follows the long tradition of the prophets who spoke on God's behalf to God's people, as we mentioned earlier. Ezekiel 3:27, "When I, God, speak with you, Ezekiel, I will open your mouth and you shall say to them, Israel, thus says the Lord God." Okay. He continues, he who will hear, let him hear. And he who will refuse to hear, let him refuse, for they are a rebellious house." As you mentioned earlier, God used the prophets to speak to wayward Israel. And sometimes the prophets used parables. Are we any different? Whenever God speaks, we must listen carefully in faith. And if we choose not to listen, then we are no less rebellious than Israel was. Listen closely in faith must result in the obedience of faith. Now imagine with me for a moment that you're a child again. And for children, I'm sure you can very much relate to this. Let's say you're watching television. Cool. Your mom or your dad or your grandparents, somebody comes in, tells you, "Go clean your room." Okay, got it. Go clean your room. But, of course, you keep watching television. All right? 20 minutes later, Your mom, your dad, your grandpa, grandma, whoever, they come back. Hey, didn't you hear what I said? You go, yeah, I heard you. Well, go clean your room, right? Because if you heard what they said, the assumption is you would have done it. And to hear it but not do it is the same as a worse, if anything. It's just, it's worse than having not heard at all. Because you heard it, but you didn't do it. Now, what do? When they ask you to do something that you don't quite understand. All right. Continue with me in Mark 4, just starting from verse 10 now, 10 to 12. Verse 10, and when he was alone, Jesus, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. In his parables, Jesus teaches in such a way that confounds and confuses those who lack faith, while converting and conforming those who have. In referencing Isaiah 6, 9, and 10, Jesus states the reason why he speaks in parables. That they may indeed see, but not perceive. That they may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. But you might be thinking, wait a minute. I thought God wants everybody to be saved. Right? Indeed, he does. Ezekiel 33:11, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil way, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Yes, God does not desire, the death of a sinner. This is why Jesus the King came. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world shed his blood on the cross so that those who put their faith in him would have their sins covered and blotted out. Nevertheless, like a loving father, God does discipline his children. Hebrews 12:7, for it is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons, as children. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? This may be hard for some of us to hear, but God is the perfect father, and he never breaks faith with his children. Because of his unfailing covenant with the people of Israel, he will indeed chastise them, but he will not utterly forsake them. He will not renege on his promises. The same is true for believers, those who would be in the household of faith. When we hear the voice of Jesus, the Spirit cuts us to the heart. We must respond in faith and repentance. When we turn and confess Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Spirit conforms us to his image. The daily life of a Christian disciple is characterized by gospel faith. The path is gospel repentance, and its end, gospel life. We must have faith if we are to understand what Jesus says and do it. Take the Pharisees, for example. They were the religious elites of their time. They could quote to you all the laws of the Old Testament. They knew the Old Testament from cover to cover. Yet when Jesus arrived, they missed him. They completely missed him. They saw Jesus, but they didn't perceive who he was. They heard Jesus, but they didn't understand what he was saying. Because if they did, they would have turned and been forgiven. But alas, they thought they were right. They insisted they were right. And their grave error put Jesus on the cross. They claimed to see, and yet they were blind. They claimed to hear, and they were deaf. And so they remained in their sin. Now, take the apostles. They were the runts of the litter, tax collectors, fishermen, zealots, Yet when they saw Jesus, they perceived who he truly was, the Messiah, son of David. When they heard him, they understood who he truly was, the king of Israel. Now, they may not have understood the cross and why that was necessary, but they saw what the religious elites did not. One Jesus, two completely different responses and reactions. One group responds in faith, the other in unbelief. Where do we stand today? Is Jesus the Lord of our lives? Do we see and hear Jesus for who he truly is? When faith awakens our hearts to the glories of Christ, when we taste and see his goodness, Psalm 34:8, his great love for us, how can we not want to hear his voice? How can we not hang our lives on every word that comes out from his mouth? As the Apostle Peter says to Jesus, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. John 6:68. Such is the example of faith, the natural fruit that comes from listening and obeying in faith. When we listen carefully to God and obey him in faith, God bears fruit in our lives. For when we listen and are obedient in faith, we will bear the fruit of faith. Continue with me in Mark 4, starting from verse 13. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those who are sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. First and foremost, the word of God never fails. The word of God never fails. The seed is the word of God, and it never comes back empty, even when there is no growth. When the word of God goes forth, it accomplishes all that he purposes. Hear what the word of the Lord says in Isaiah 55:10-11. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. We must reckon with the fact that in Jesus' parable, all the soils heard. They all heard the word of the Lord, but they did not all respond in the same way. The seed that is sown among the path. When they hear the word of the Lord, Satan immediately snatches it away. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Scarcely is the seed sown, scarcely is the word heard, before it is picked up and tossed back into the wind. Is this you today? Don't think that just because you've been in church all your life that your heart is not hard. For when you hear the word of the Lord, does your heart grow tender, knowing that God himself speaks to you tenderly? Or are you indifferent, apathetic, unconcerned with the things of God? And if so, I pray that God would soften your heart so that you may be able to seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at at the right hand of God. Colossians 3:1. How many names and faces come to our minds when we think of those who do not know our Lord and Savior? As for the seed that is sown upon the rocky ground, they also hear, and when they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy. But here's the kicker. They have no root. In other words, the word is sown, but it is not grounded in their life. It is not anchored in anything substantial. Though it may grow for a short time, it is short-lived. When the sun of trials, tribulations, and persecution come on account of the word, they immediately fall away. When the going gets tough, the first thing to go is the word. Some of us seem to have great faith. We may talk a good game. We may know a few verses, know the names of a few preachers, but our faith has yet to be tested. We scorn the fact that God might call us to not only believe in him, but to suffer for his name's sake. Philippians 1:29. Some of us are only on board when things are going well. But once things go sideways, our relationship with the Lord goes sideways. Is that you? Does wearing a mask or not wearing a mask prevent you from loving your neighbor? Does politics cause you to forego bearing with one another's burdens? Does the slightest inconvenience you face in life cause you to throw out what you know to be true in the word? If so, what will happen when true persecution comes? If you realize that this might be you, I encourage you to talk to others who've walked the faith before you, those who have traversed the highs and lows of the Christian life with the great shepherd. Listen to their stories and see how much sweeter the voice of the Lord is, how much purer their love for the Lord is, how much deeper their faith is. Find them and learn from them. Humble yourselves lest the Lord himself be the one to humble you. For me, one person comes to mind, and I would like to think she knows who she is. She has been in the throes of the valley of the shadow of death for most of her life. And at times, it seems she spends entire seasons there. And yet she remains faithful to the Lord. Her faith cannot be but anything but pure gold. She remains ever close to the heart of God. Like Mary, she chooses the better portion at the feet of Jesus. Of course, that doesn't mean that life is easy. Life can be very, very hard. But she continually prays that God's will be done in and through her, even in the midst of what she is going through. And so what kind of faith is this but one that has kissed the hand of God? I'm always humbled to be in her presence, and I always pray that God would reward her richly in the age to come. And this is an appropriate segue into the seed sown among thorns. Unlike the first two seeds, Satan doesn't immediately come and snatch anything away. The seed doesn't immediately spring up, nor does it immediately wither. Healthy growth takes time. And if the thorns were not there, chances are the seed sown among the thorns would have grown pretty well. Unfortunately, the seed is sown among thorns. And so as the seed grows, the thorns grow along with it. Because of this, over the course of time, the life of the seed is choked out by the thorns. The image is that of slow strangulation, a gradual and steady death. The word is snuffed out by the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things. If unrestrained, our sinful desires are more than able to threaten the stability of our relationship with our Lord. John D. Rockefeller, the richest man in the history of America, at least, when he was asked, how much money does it take for a man to be happy? What was his response? His response was, just a little more. Just a little more. What does it take for a man to be happy? Just a little more. The appetite of the sinful heart always cries more more. More safety, more comfort, more security, more wealth, more fame, more independence, more freedoms, more. It is never enough. Is that you today? Are you more concerned about your temporal safety, comfort, security, and wealth than you are about your eternal safety, comfort, security, and wealth in Christ? As you look at your life, what are the thorns that are slowly wrapping tighter and tighter around you, slowly squeezing out your relationship with the Lord? Know for certain that you cannot take up your cross and follow Jesus with your hands full. Repent and let go in faith of that which holds you back from following Christ. He will clear the thorns in your life, and He Himself will cultivate in you the good soil. Like the seed sown among thorns, the seed sown among the good soil does not immediately grow, but it grows nonetheless. And as God cultivates the growth, it produces fruit 30, 60, 100 times more. These are those who hear the word of God and accept it. It sinks deep into their hearts and it takes root. The sons of trial, persecution, and tribulation still rises, but they hold fast to the word of the Lord and are well watered by the Spirit. They follow Jesus in humility, knowing that there was nothing that they could have done to deserve this amazing gift. They know that they could not have manufactured the good soil in their own hearts. It was all by God's grace. Praise the Lord. And so where are you today? You might be sitting here, perhaps feeling a bit hearing impaired. Maybe you feel an inner stirring because you realize that the soil of your heart is hard or rocky. Maybe you feel the thorns choking out your relationship with Jesus. I encourage you, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn from your sin and hear Him speak words of tenderness to you. Feel His loving embrace over your life. In faith, let Him change you from the inside out. Whenever God speaks, listen carefully in faith. When we listen in faith, this will result in the obedience of faith. And when we listen and obey in faith, it will produce the fruit of faith. Now, if it all starts with listening in faith, how do we go about making space to listen? How do we go about making space for God's presence in our lives? Here is one recommendation. Take an actual Sabbath. Take an actual Sabbath, not half Sabbath, not sort of Sabbath, not the kinds where it's just as busy as any other workday. Take an actual Sabbath. If you need to, take your Bible and your journal and go somewhere by yourself to be with God, even if that's just down the hall to your bedroom. And if you don't like journals, that's okay. That's cool. Don't take your journal. Just be with God. All right? Because too often, we are too preoccupied with doing stuff, even if it's for God. Just stop and take time to just be with God. At first, it may feel very, very awkward and very, very hard. You may even feel like you're not really hearing anything. But that is because life has been so crazy and you haven't had the time to sit still. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. It takes time. And sometimes it is hard to decipher what God is doing in our lives, but God, the maker of heaven and earth, is sovereign over all things. We can ask our Heavenly Father when we don't know something. And even if we don't get an answer right away, and even if we get an answer that we don't quite understand, the Spirit of truth is with us, and He will reveal all things to us. As you listen to the sower in faith, as you walk in the obedience of faith, may the Lord do a mighty work in you so that the fruit of your faith would bear 30, 60, 100-fold for the glory of the kingdom of God. Can you hear what the sower is saying to you today? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the lives of these precious brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray, Lord, that those who don't know you would come to know you, that those who have heard your voice for the first time would respond in faith. Pray that those who perhaps have been distracted, too busy to spend time with you, that they would be able to be with you. And so, Lord, I pray that your word would be deeply rooted in all of our hearts, so that we would be able to bear fruit 30, 60, 100-fold. So we bless your name. We thank you, God. To you be the glory, honor, and praise forevermore. Amen.